This is a topic that I'm very passionate about, so I want to describe for you a program that we helped create. This is now, I think, when John Douglas was at the Health Department, 1992, and so we've evolved to a whole new program. I want to acknowledge my colleagues who we worked on this. This is part of an Office of Population Affairs grant that we are actually evaluating our program now, so we have some good information for you today. So we have three questions that we want to answer. One is, why integrate family planning and STD service together? What has been our experience so far in terms of number of patients we see, the staff response, patients' response to the services we provide, and how can you, other STD programs, streamline your clinical practice to accommodate this integration? Because this is not something magic that we want to keep in Denver, but we want to do it in other places. So why integrate family planning with STD care? First of all, unintended pregnancy is a significant individual and public health consequence. Anybody knows that if you have a baby that is not wanted, it's not going to be cared for well. So we want children to have healthy and good relationships with their families. Similar behaviors lead to both STDs and unintended pregnancies, and patients who come to STD services may not have another source for their family planning care. So what does our program offer? It's not magic. We just provide family planning services where we discuss it to everybody at least once a year to eligible men and women who come to our clinic for STD care. For people who are low risk, we refer them on for primary care for ongoing services, and we provide continuity services for teens and for high risk women who require additional support because they have trouble maybe with avoiding unintended pregnancy or STD HIV. And they found our clinic, so we want to keep them there. In terms of services provided for women, we provide, of course, STD screening, testing, and treatment. We provide family planning, and when we think of that, it's a broad term. Preconception counseling, pregnancy testing with options, and then initial contraceptive services, 3 months of a method, and then emergency contraceptive if needed. In terms of contraceptions that we provide the vast array of everything now, including all the way from IUDs and implants, as well as emergency contraception for women who say that they're going to use condoms. We also give them anticipatory EC at the same time. And then we now have referrals for sterilizations for women. In terms of men, again, STD screening, testing, and treatment. For men, in terms of family planning, we involve men in their pregnancy planning and prevention. We integrate the messaging together. We provide accurate information about available methods for their partners, the benefits of spacing children, safe pregnancy delivery. If they need it, preconception counseling is put together, and then we offer them condoms, family, and we discuss with them female-directed methods, as well as if their partner is a member of our clinic, they've come to our clinic, we'll give them emergency contraception for their client. And then we refer them on if they want a vasectomy, we'll get them into a vasectomy program. In terms of our program, what I want to show for you is some data. We're going to show you the utilization through our chart review, number of people seen through our electronic medical record. I'm going to show you some of the staff responses to this program, including our attending physicians and our clinical staff, and then some of our survey of our patients, 114 patients that we have interviewed in the last, at the end of 2009. So in terms of integration of services, if we look at through 2006 to 2008, about 24,000 patients were seen that were eligible for family planning services, of which about 40% were female. And among that group, 44% received family planning services. Slightly more men than women. I think it's a little bit easier to integrate it in. Women take a little longer. But we have actually changed that in 2009. It's equal. Men and women are both receiving the services, and it's over 50%. And in terms of the increase, we've seen a change from the number of integration from 37% all the way to 51%. And in 2009, our recent data show it's 79% of people that come into our clinic are getting family planning counseling at least once a year when they get an STD evaluation. Condoms are the most common method provided for men and women, and then pills for women and female-directed methods are discussed with men commonly. In terms of staff perception, all the staff support integrating family planning into STD care. They feel that the family planning counseling and the free contraceptive we provide is needed by the clients. This integration seems logical because the services are very interconnected. And one provider has now developed a rapport. They're discussing some very important issues with the patient, and they can bring that continuity and bring that together to talk about both issues. Everyone is committed to the program, and they feel that it's very important that everybody leave the clinic with something if they want it. And if they don't want the birth control, at least they know the counseling from it. The challenge is those people that are complex, women who have little knowledge of birth control, they take more time, or women at the time of triage who didn't say they wanted birth control, and then they now want it, and then they've been assigned to a clinician who maybe doesn't have all the knowledge that she or he needs to be able to provide the services that that person needs. In terms of staff perception, some of the comments was the family planning piece is one of our strengths, especially for teens who have trouble coming up with services. That we can offer that for free for a certain population is amazing. And then the second quote was, we already know that they're having unprotected sex, so let's stop both. In terms of patient perceptions, we surveyed 114 people, 65% are women, 31% were men, and 10% were monolingual Spanish speakers. The question, did the family planning services received meet your needs? The majority of people said yes. However, men were very confused by the term family planning. It's really them discussing, they don't see their role, at least in the clinic, they didn't see their role or their involvement into family planning. And when you talked about avoiding unintended pregnancy or planning for pregnancies, they understood that. So I think our terminology needs to change. And then was the counseling that you received respectful of your values, your culture, and lifestyle? Majority of people felt it was. Now I want to describe for you the process we use in our clinic so you can see how you could perhaps put this together. Because I really think that this is something that STD programs should provide for all patients who come through, integrating family planning and STD together. So a person's registered, they come to the clinic. And then what we do is we triage somebody. We triage the person, and that's done by an LPN. And what she or he will do is identify if they have symptoms or not, and whether they're interested in birth control or family planning. For women, it's more, do they want birth control? And then what you're trying to do is align patients to the type of visit where you have the expertise for that visit. So it's a more complicated visit if you have a new patient visit versus an express visit. Express visit is more rapid. So you have your higher end people, your nurse practitioners, and your RNs who are doing new patient visits where you have a sexual history, STD testing, physical exam, and then providing birth control, all integrated together. Done by those folks. And then you have STD follow-up, which is done by somebody who has come back for a problem, a recheck. If they didn't get family planning done, then you integrate it into the discussion at that same time. You don't necessarily have to do a physical exam. And it's again done by a higher level person for the visit. Express visits are just an STD history. You don't do a physical examination. You can integrate family planning into the visit, but this is where it's a little bit more complicated. Your LPNs and medical assistants or a healthcare partner are unlicensed folks. So they're under protocol. All of our staff is under protocol with a physician extender model, but these folks do not dispense birth control. So if a woman doesn't triage to say she wanted birth control and she is now seeing an LPN, she's going to have to go and see somebody else and maybe come back, and that's a problem. So we want to triage them properly at the time, but if she's seeing an LPN and she just wants condoms, we'll give her condoms and emergency contraception, and then all of the men can get counseling integrated in with their STD evaluation. And then we have our family planning visit only. That's our teen clinic, our continuity clinic. Now we offer IUDs and implants to women who go through screening, thank you, and we will then provide that to women through those programs. Now, this is our electronic medical record, and I wanted to highlight a couple things so you can see a few things. This is created for Dr. Douglas so he could see his name there. He's come in for a visit today. And the big thing I want to highlight is we just started this January 1. HealthDoc is a very good electronic medical record system where we pull all our data so we can report everything. Everything is put into it, and we can pull everything out that we need to for our funders to be able to tell them how we're doing. What we've just created is this new tool, Check Eligibility. So when a clinician is seeing a patient, they know if they're eligible for family planning, and it's redone every year. So this person here is here for a new visit. You can see that right here. And then what we've got here is, in terms of it, still again, check eligibility so we know it's a part of it. And then these are the tabs for the visit history form and the physical exam. And so you can see that STD and family planning is integrated into the charting. There's avoidance of redundancy in asking questions, which takes time and is not cost effective. So what we've done is your reason for your visit, symptoms, past medical history, past STD contact, sexual history, all the information related to STD HIV prevention activities, and then you integrate in, are they eligible for family planning? And then current contraceptive, do they qualify for it in terms of there's things related to federal poverty level and whether they would qualify for our continuity program, physical exam, and then this gives you just a flavor of what we have now in terms of contraceptive, planned contraceptive, what they walk out the door with. And this person is getting preconception and contraceptive counseling. They have been given education on birth control, on testicular self-exam, HIV, STD prevention, and they're going to walk out the door with condoms. In terms of cost and sustainability, we have this funded through Title X. We've integrated the program and some private donations together, and it's now a quarter of our STD budget so that we have done that to try and maximize services. And through word of mouth, which is kind of cool, people come for family planning and now they get STD screening as part of it, so that's very good. And then the integration maximizes the existing clinic infrastructure. You have one clinician doing both things. You can see more people because you have more funding to be able to do it. You have the lab set up to do both, all of those things, the pharmacy, everything. In terms of the public health implications, remember that STD clinics serve high-risk men and women. Many of these people come to us because they lack reproductive health care access. So here we are integrating them both together, so we're avoiding two STDs, if you would say, or two unintended sexually transmitted diseases, STDs and pregnancy if it's not wanted. And PICSI is an important mandate for the public health department and public health mandate, and integration with family planning is one of those things that I think should be a part of that. These are overlapping health behaviors and issues, and it's very feasible to do, and it's cost beneficial by economy of scales. And so what we're doing next in our grant, which we're very excited about, now that we have an integrated chart, we're going to actually look at utilization of services. We're going to look at the cost benefit of providing it in terms of time studies we're doing, how much extra time does it take to integrate family planning in. Preliminary data says it's about 6 minutes, which isn't too much. And then we're going to look at the cost of providing services in STD clinic alone, a family planning clinic alone, and an integrated program. And then, of course, to make sure that we don't have unforeseen consequences, we're going to look at STD rates, gonorrhea, chlamydia, and pregnancy rates so that we can be certain that we're not having STD rates going up as we're focusing on other birth control methods, because not everybody will necessarily do dual methods, and then hopefully lower unintended pregnancy rates. So thank you for your attention, and my contact information is included.
Thank you, Dr. Sherry. We have about 2 minutes for questions. If you'd like to take 2 minutes for questions.
So, eligibility criteria for a client is somebody who is not who's a heterosexual person, and basically that's the main thing, have not had a hysterectomy, a tubal ligation, or vasectomy. So it's pretty broad. So if you're a gay male, only a gay male, or you're only a lesbian female, you would not be eligible, or sterilization.
One more question, Dr. Douglas.
but my other question is, this is really great, of course. I'm curious that you've been so creative over the years applying funding for this. Have you guys done any thinking about looking at these sort of billing of a Medicaid or a third party?
Ooh, you're asking a very So the question relates to billing, and we actually are starting, Colorado is going to start, is working to a Medicaid waiver program. And so with that, there's going to come new challenges for us as an agency, because as you know, city funding is offset by how much money you get. So if you collect money, you just get less city funding. So we're looking into it, and we're going to, over the next year, look into it, and I don't know how it's going to pan out. But it's a very important point. right now all these services are provided for free, because we found that when you provided services and you had a fee, you actually reduced visits and rates of STDs went up, and that's a problem.